Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. RainbowWeddingNetwork.com was launched in September 2000 and has been a trusted LGBT wedding resource for 16 years. RWN has produced an ongoing national tour of LGBT wedding expos with over 150 events in 30 different states since 2003. We also offer an extensive online directory with screened gay-friendly wedding and home-related businesses, a free honeymoon registry, customized wedding web pages for couples, LGBT-specific ceremony planning tips, parenting resources, and more. Check us out online at RainbowWeddingNetwork.com and also at SameLoveSameRights.com for further information or to make a donation to help keep this podcast going strong. Thank you.
All right. Welcome to our October 14th, 2016 podcast. We're the team from Rainbow Wedding Network coming at you live from Studio 214 here in Asheville, North Carolina. Very excited to be with you today. We've got some exciting topics. I am looking forward to hearing what everybody has to chat about today. We're going to touch on winter theme weddings.
Yes.
We are also going to touch on quick tips for your wedding and reception. Many of us here at the table today have been married. So we've been through it and have some quick tips to draw on. And then Ira, who is our resident bachelor, has yet to experience a wedding of his own. But he has great ideas, too, because he's certainly been in the business long enough. Right, Ira?
Yeah, Cinderella can still dream.
That's right.
I was about to say he's the smart one in the group, but
yeah.
That's okay.
Oh, no. Snap.
No, I'm not going to claim that.
Her wife is sitting next to her. Let me just move a chair over. Then we're going to talk about the election, which is coming up in just a few short weeks here in 2016.
Crazy.
Yeah. There's no better word. All right, so we're going to touch on those three topics today. Thank you for listening in. I'm Mary Ann, one of the founders of RainbowWeddingNetwork.com, here with Cindy, my wife.
Hello.
At least I think she is.
That's right.
And Ira, again, our resident bachelor, graphic
Hello.
Guru, technical guy. Lauren, who
Hi.
Is also a fabulous member of our staff in many different departments, too many to count. And we're going to get started first with winter theme weddings. We've got a lot of subtopics within this. So, Lauren, I'm going to let you start us off with venues and the other thoughts you have about winter theme weddings.
Great. Yeah, so I started looking at unique venues for weddings. So maybe something a little different than a chapel or a hotel ballroom. So national parks.
Oh, yes.
I love national parks. So most national parks have really nice lodging. Mm-hmm. So you can have a beautiful wedding at a lodge that probably will overlook, mountains or a lake or river. Also ski lodges.
Mm-hmm.
They can have a unique venue for you. And also your guests can go skiing, but I would recommend to go after the wedding.
Yes.
So you're not super sore. Also, you can look into resorts. You can find some beautiful resorts in North Carolina, as well as Montana and Utah, Colorado, and some other places that I had looked into were mansions, such as the Biltmore.
Yeah, very
that
nice.
Would be beautiful during the winter. Those are some places that are some unique venue locations that I had found for winter.
Awesome. I know some couples also do the winter escape wedding.
Yes.
Which sort of gets away from our theme, but you go south to the Virgin Islands or somewhere like that to enjoy your winter wedding away from the winter weather. So that's another thing sometimes people think of when they think of winter weddings.
Yeah, that's right. I was doing a little research as well on venues. I mean, really, you're right. You can think about winter weddings as being someplace that's off season.
Right.
You know, because you know how I am around here. I'm the budget conscious one, right? But, yeah. You know, seriously, if you're in some area that, it all depends on where you're located. Like in Florida, they're, you know, seasonal, their season, season for weddings is really in the winter, probably, or September, October, because it's not so hot.
Right.
But if you are, you know, in other places, as we call them, the shoulder months, sometimes you do get a little better deals on your venues, but really you can create almost any venue as a winter themed wedding.
Sure.
And some great ideas for that would be, you know, we all have to remember that the sun sets earlier.
Right.
But you can do so much with lighting, like candles and, you know, beautiful little fairy lights on birch tree limbs or something. You know, there's so much when you look at our favorite site, Pinterest, you know, for ideas. There's so much in the way of like winter wedding ideas that you can have, that you can dress up any venue
to look like that ski lodge. Like,
yes, to look like the ski lodge. Using drapes, you know, floor to ceiling drapes to add that layers in there are a great way to create the winter wedding theme in almost any venue. But of course, having it, you know, where you're overlooking snow-capped mountains is absolutely fabulous, especially if that is your, you know, your ideal wedding, having it in some location that offers that type of landscape, of course, just adds to the beauty of the winter wedding theme. So
another venue idea, of course, that's really charming for winter weddings is bed and breakfasts of all kinds and in all places. You know, we all have getaway locations in whatever city we may live in. And bed and breakfasts offer such great opportunities for your wedding in that it's all one package most of the time. They often provide in-house catering, or you can bring in, you know, off-site catering, but they often have connections for you to call to be able to find local gay-friendly caterers if that's needed. And sometimes you bring in an officiant. Sometimes the bed and breakfast owner is an officiant. Sometimes one of the bed and breakfast owners is a photographer. You know, a lot of great wedding package options. But then just the fact that you have the accommodations right there for you and your spouse, as well as some of your guests who may be staying overnight. And then it's maybe in a hidden part of your area, maybe a little further away from where you live, maybe not so far. So you have all those options to make what works for you. But in a winter wedding situation, to me, the bed and breakfast package is just so cozy feeling.
I was going to say, that's,
you know,
yeah.
It's got a draw for the summer wedding too, or the spring, but that winter feeling of everybody nestled together in one building and many of your guests staying overnight too, it just makes it feel that much more cozy and, I don't know, something about that winter feel of bringing people together.
Well, that's part of the great idea with like venues, is especially if you found a venue that has a beautiful fireplace in it and, you know, you have that. And there's plenty of people that have outdoor weddings and then go indoor for their reception, but creating that ambiance of that coziness, of that warmth from everything from, I know you guys are going to talk about food and menu items, but the type of, you know, beverages that you have at your bar to having that lovely fireplace that's, you know, got a big fire in it, the lighting with the candles and, you know, and all of that, and the drapery that you use, the fabric, all can create that wonderful, lovely winter themed.
It's a sense of community. Yeah. I think you get more in a winter wedding than some of the other seasons, because it is about bringing people together in those nights that are longer. And so it naturally just lends itself to people coming together in that whole feel.
And don't be afraid to add color to it as well, because, you know, you think winter wedding, sometimes you're thinking white with snow and all that, but you can have some.
I'm going to talk about wedding theme colors in just a few minutes.
Yeah, so get bold, get fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a few of my own, actually.
Good. Ira's going to talk about decor. Let's go into that. We want to launch right into the fun.
One thing I was going to say, and one of the best things I think about your winter wedding is, like Cindy was saying, you can use a warmer color palette to create an atmosphere for your event if you use rich colors such as ruby or plum or sapphire or emerald. And then you can accent with colors like white, sparkling gold, and silvers just to bring out, make those other colors pop. Another great way to do that and give that warm, inviting feeling is to use textures and scents to immerse your senses. So if guests are coming into to the venue, you can have, or to the reception venue rather, you could have faux fur throws draped across the back of the guest seating, or maybe woven blankets, and that doubles as a great way for guests to keep warm if you're in a cooler setting. So that's another great way to give that warm and inviting feeling. Another great idea that I ran across, which I thought was great for the play settings, was actually tying off your napkins with beautiful red berries. Maybe it's holly, just some good bright colors that pop. Accent it with your choice of greenery, and then a little stick of cinnamon to give that scent, give that warm, inviting scent to...
One of my favorite greeneries for winter is eucalyptus. Those and leaves are nice and bold. Yeah.
And we would all have clear sinuses.
No, they don't necessarily that fragrant, but the leaves are so bold and thick, they just kind of say winter.
That's right, and they do and pop. We'll be germ-free. I like that, honey.
I'll be the one in the corner licking the cinnamon stick.
One other thing I was going to mention as well in terms of the textures is as I said, using feathers and the floral arrangements. And then also you can finish off with your choice of evergreens, be it any particular kind of fir tree. Because the smell is great, it creates a very homey, very warm, almost reminds you of the holidays. It creates a very warm feeling when the guests are entering the banquet hall. And again, go with deeper, rich colors, holly berries, deep red roses to finish off an accent. You can also throw in some pine cones as filler to add additional texture to the arrangements. And I even ran across some very neat ideas of trimming them down to make them look like flower petals. So I thought that was a very great idea just because of their natural shape. They kind of work out that well.
That's neat. I also, I love berries too, but I also stress nuts, even though nuts is thought of as a fall adornment. You know, it's traditionally nuts in stockings at Christmas is also an old favorite too. So I just mentioned that in terms of decor, you know, accents. Sometimes people forget about the good old nuts in the world that add just a little bit of organic feeling. And again, it's sort of about that harvest of bringing people together and getting through the winter together.
Right.
Thinking of those richer earth tones like the browns, the nuts, another great idea, and it could be natural or you could paint them, but to use dried branches, just tree branches. You can create great centerpieces. You could create a chandelier with some lights, you know, strewn in.
And the fabrics hanging from the branches.
Fabrics hang Christmas ornaments, little snowflake ornaments, sparkling snowflake ornaments. So that's another great way to give that rustic feel, that very earthy, warm and inviting feel. And, of course, Cindy actually mentioned it earlier, but I was also going to note, if you do have a venue with a fireplace, you can, of course, accent the mantle, the hearth, just like it's a home. So it's very inviting, and use your floral accents to bring that out.
Yeah, and what that does is it not only brings people together for your celebration, but it lets them leave feeling nourished. And that's really nice. Everybody will remember that when they think of your wedding. They'll just think about how full they felt when they left. And it's a fullness of community good food and warmth.
Make casseroles comfort food.
Yeah.
Comfort food.
But Ira, what's some of my favorite decor that I want you to mention?
Oh, you wanted me to mention the red apples. I didn't throw the red apples in, but that is another great way to accent with the greenery and another great smell, too.
I know.
To really mix with that. And it keeps reminding me of the holidays every time. And I kind of think that's what brightens winter, those colors, those deep colors, those rich colors.
Oranges, too. In my family, it was sort of traditional to put oranges in Christmas stockings. Obviously, we celebrated Christmas in my house. But oranges are something to help get you through, you know, the scurvy times of winter. And so nowadays, it's just a fun sort of reminiscent thing. So apples, oranges, squashes can be great decor accents, I think.
And the oranges with, if you, you know, like your mom showed me, pop the little cloves in.
Oh, yeah.
Give a really great smell, and that will fill the room. And it's not so overwhelming that if you have people who are sensitive, I don't think that would be too overwhelming for most guests.
True. Wonderful ideas.
And if you do have some sort of, use some sort of ornaments or something, those are great gifts as well. You know, if it reflects your wedding in some way during the holidays, whatever holiday that you celebrate, you could also use as those as some sort of, you know, attendance gifts or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, ornaments would be a beautiful memory, you know. I also mentioned homemade jams, homemade canned, you know, apple butter a wonderful giveaway gift. And apple butter is one of the easier things to can, as we just recently found out.
Yes.
Easy to make. You can make it a year in advance as long as it's canned properly. And then you have plenty of time to do your decor accents on the jars for giveaway keepsakes for your guests. And that's just another homey way to say thank you and keep in the spirit of the season.
And it's also a great time to serve pie.
We're getting to food. I know. We're getting to
You're
food.
You're making me hungry already. Oh, casseroles.
Wait a minute. Just pies. Time out. We got to make sure we're finished with the core.
One last little thing I was going to throw in that I thought was a neat idea I came up with myself was just throwing in, if you're very fond of them, little snow globes that are reminiscent of winter.
That's so
have
sweet.
Guests pick those up, and you can even have little snow globes as takeaway favors.
You can make your own snow globes.
Mm-hmm.
You can look that up online and make them in mason jars or other types of things. You could make your own. Or you can even, if you're having a creative reception, you can have a craft station where people make their own snow globe keepsakes. Super fun.
Super fun.
Yeah. All right, should we roll right into food options, menu options for your winter theme wedding?
I think that one makes Cindy happy.
That's right.
casseroles. Go ahead.
Amen, girl. Casseroles. For all of you folks who have ever attended an expo that I have been at and talked about casseroles, you know my love for casseroles.
She does.
Casseroles are fabulous. And what a great winter, you know, because we all tend, not the Debbie Downer, but we all tend to gain weight during the winter.
It's about it's like, home and comfort.
It's about
food.
Home and comfort, and when you're by the fire and you want that, you know, they can be very upscale casseroles. That kind of comfort food is great for your wedding. Also, like we talked about, the beverages as well. Sorry about that. We are having to connect back in with Lauren here in our remote office. The type of beverages, adult beverages, you know, we talked about the cinnamon stick or the peppermint stick in some sort of drink, alcoholic or non-alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Warm coffee drinks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Ira's going to talk more about
hot toddies.
Some other beverages. Oh, you know buttered rum. Hot buttered rum.
You're stealing my ideas here, Marianne. Go
ahead, Lauren.
I saw on online that you can take apples and scoop out them inside and put apple cider in them and then put a little cinnamon stick for garnish.
Fun.
Yeah,
that is fun.
I thought it was really cute.
Yep.
That is a great idea.
That's good for the kids' station.
Yeah.
Kids' area.
Mm. Ira. Go for it.
I'm going to go for it.
No,
I'm just
listening
to all the great ideas. One of my first thoughts, though, when we're talking about that warm, cozy feeling is creating more of a communal feast using things that you might traditionally consider holiday dishes, a roast goose, pheasant, chicken, turkey, any of the poultry dishes, warm yeast rolls, different, you know, things that are a little more traditional toward the holidays. Hearty potatoes could be either roasted or mashed potatoes. Asparagus is a good, you know, stout vegetable to stand up there. And then I know you'll talk a little bit more about it later on, Marianne, but some fondues and dips. One of my favorites is the pumpkin spice dip with the gingerbread or ginger snaps. So that's
very
good.
Oh, get out.
As you're saying this, though, I think it's important for couples to really think through their catering options. Because imagine if you are in a venue that lends itself to kind of an open-air feel, a lodgy feel, you know, homey feel, and your caterer is cooking right there. So all these smells of all these wonderful foods are filtering mm-hmm. throughout the space leading up to the meal. It's like, yes, you don't want them to create this food earlier and bring it in.
That's a great
in
idea.
In foil, because imagine all those fragrances you're missing out on.
That's mm-hmm. Love yeah. it. I'm ready to get married again. Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah.
Another thing I know you'll probably touch on a little bit more, Marianne, but as Cindy was saying, the pies, just mm-hmm. like our vendor in out in Texas who offers the tiny pies, individual portions, but more traditional like pumpkin pie, pecan pie, fruit pies for the holidays make a great mm-hmm. dessert item. And then another great idea that I ran across in terms of beverages was having a hot cocoa station set mm-hmm. up. You can have, you know, coffees and hot cocoa with all sorts of flavors, cappuccinos. Just great, especially if you're having an outdoor wedding and guests are coming back in and want to warm up. And then the buttered rum. Mm-hmm. You can even kick up the hot cocoa with some peppermint schnapps. So
amen.
For the adults, yeah. you can add a little kick there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's good just if you don't have a station set up for the warm drinks, if the bartender is prepared to make those for people to almost have like a chalkboard sign or something that lets people know that warm drinks are available because yes. they don't always think of that. You know, make sure mm-hmm. that your guests know all the options that are available.
And imagine if you found a venue that has a pretty outdoor area with that it's not freezing cold, but you could go out there with, especially if they had some sort of fire.
Yeah, fire pit.
Fire pit kind of thing. You could have your...
Your ramped up cocoa out there.
Amen.
Yeah, make some yeah. adult s'mores.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesomeness.
You can tell it's getting chillier here in North Carolina.
Right, exactly.
Since we're on the dessert, you know, you can, the tiny pies vendor we've worked with out of Texas is a great idea. Mm-hmm. If you're not, don't have your heart set on cake, but there are some bakers, including if you Google tiny pies out of Texas, you can see all she has to offer. But there are many bakers now that can do a... you know, a selection of individual sized pies
right.
in wintry flavors. So instead of perhaps cake, you could have a tree of tiny pies that people could choose from, whether they want pumpkin or pecan or, you know, all the different flavors that you might, berry pies. Mm-hmm. I love berries in winter. So, you know, that's a fun dessert item to think of too. But in terms of cake, there are great cake flavors that sort of you think of in winter. You know, one we like to make is chocolate cake with, it's infused with peppermint or mm-hmm. the chocolate cake is plain. Oh, there's Lauren's baby Harden saying hello. He's been anti-nap the past few days, we understand.
That's right.
Yeah. He heard pie.
Ooh, good boy. He's a member of the family for sure.
That's right. That's
right. Or the plain chocolate cake with the buttercream frosting that's infused with peppermint is simple but really delicious. And then there's lots more fancy flavors for wedding cake in winter, such as Kahlua and cream, orange chocolate, hazelnut almond, white cake with delicate vanilla icing and berries, of course, as your accents on the cake. Ginger spice cake, carrot cake. I recently tasted a ginger molasses homemade ice cream, which has now become my all-time favorite.
Yes.
So I can easily imagine like a ginger molasses whipped frosting on a cake or ginger molasses whipped cream on a hot coffee drink. It's like, your guests will not leave.
No, they won't.
You know, that'd be awesome. Those are incredible flavors that everybody's going to remember fondly. And then back to the savory items, I had made some notes about, we talked about casseroles. But another type of menu item that people might consider is savory pies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have those full size, or they're sliced like a casserole, or you can have them individual size where people can choose from. You can have vegetarian, you can have vegan, you can have meat pies. So there's all kinds of diverse flavors you can have there. You can have them baked in a rustic look. You can have them where they're puffed pastries, so they're more elegant. You can have the pastry enclose the entire, you know, all of the fixings and sides, or open on the top. So if it's a vegetable pie, you see all those colorful flavors. Colors of the vegetables, Ira, as you were mentioning, that just sort of I don't know. They don't just say winter, but they kind of warm you up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, just by seeing those colors, if it's squashes and, you know, those deep, rich colors of winter. So that's a fun idea, I think, for some of the savory menu items. And as you mentioned, Ira, the fondue is fun to think about. I know because I was born in the 60s. Back in the 70s, my mom would sometimes make cheese fondue for our dinner. And, you know, we always ate around the table. But when you have cheese fondue as a family, you're all leaning in and it's that much more banter going on. And you're that much more connected as you dip, you know, your bread or your fruit into the cheese fondue. So that can happen too at a wedding reception. If you have a fondue at each table or even just a separate station, it just helps bring people together because they do have to lean in to do those dips, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a fun way of bringing people together. And another fun one I saw online, which was different for me, I'd never thought of before. If you're having a more casual reception, especially a daytime reception, you can make homemade tomato soup and serve it in a jar, and then a triangle of grilled cheese sandwich, whether it's classic grilled cheese or whether you've ramped that up and made it into a panini, and so it's stuffed with cheese and veggies and mushrooms and herbs. You know, you could make it fancy, but you serve the triangle of the grilled cheese sandwich on top of the jar of the tomato soup. So it kind of retains the warmth really nicely, and it's just casual but somewhat elegant. And again, it's just a cozy way of making people feel nourished. So I thought that was fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
Another great thing there are some soups and chowders and chilies. You could even have a station set up where guests can pick their own.
Yeah, and they could mix in the level of heat they want in their chili.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Oh, yeah.
They could even do like mix it. They could have a chili bar where they could put onions in if they wanted onions. They could put, you know, these different beans in if they want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fun.
And that's the neat thing about what you guys are talking about is it's all different price points there as well. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're you're saying, if you're just having that backyard wedding or, you know, a smaller wedding, there's so many options there that you can do. But all of that does it achieves the same result, which is that you're getting together with your favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing that in a way that's meaningful in a wedding and bringing people together for this one special occasion. And all of that's going to leave them so happy at the end of the day, you know, and they're going to really remember your special day.
And I think if you're having a winter theme wedding, it's good to mention that to your caterer and some of your other vendors and saying, this is the feeling I want my guests to leave with.
Right.
What ideas do you have? And they might come up with something much more elegant and refined than tomato soup in a jar, or they may be able to just make that so fabulous that it's perfect for what you need, whatever. But there's a whole range of options there. Mm-hmm. And I think if you share the feel of what you're going for, it helps give your wedding vendors more information to go off of to make it that much more successful for you.
Yep.
Yeah. I was also going to touch on attire for wedding-themed weddings. And what I had found is I'm going to touch on a variety of apparel. I'm going to go ahead and start with formal wedding gowns. Some of our listeners do wear formal wedding gowns. Many of our lesbian brides like to wear tuxes and suits as well. But for those who are thinking about a gown, it's just good to remember that long-sleeved wedding gowns are so beautiful. And that extra space of fabric on your arm gives your designer that much more to work with. So you can have such creativity there with the laces or the decorative accents there on the arms and the sleeves. So it's actually gives you more options in terms of how your look will be with the gown. So again, it's easy to do searches online and come up with different ideas. Of course, you can go shopping and such and get ideas there too. But I just wanted to leave everybody with that thought, that having a long-sleeved wedding gown doesn't have to seem bulky or cumbersome. They can be extremely beautifully cut and everything, and then you get more room for those accents. It's important, though, to keep warm. If you are having a winter wedding, even if you're not going to be outside, it's good to visit your venue a couple of times as the date nears so that you know just how chilly it is in that venue space. Some obviously can can keep their thermostat better than others, depending on how open the space is. So it's good to check that out and plan accordingly.
Yep.
If you need to have a wrap, there's snug little jackets. Ira, you mentioned faux furs before. Those are beautiful in terms of wraps. Or there's gowns that we peeked at online with faux fur necklines, and those can be cut at angles. I mean, they don't look old-fashioned at all. They look really trendy and are really beautiful. So there's those ways of keeping yourself warm. There's the faux fur coats. There's the jackets. There's the stoles. There's the muffs. There's the earmuffs. There's the hats. And all of that is easy online now because you can see so many pictures. You just sort of have to decide what look you're trying to create and then find out what you want to go with. But even earmuffs can look stylish in your wedding photos if you choose the right ones.
Right.
And they go with your wedding gown accordingly. Or your suit, if you're wearing a suit.
And your best people will be very happy with you.
Yeah. Being warm is important. If you're really freezing, it does come through in your wedding photos, so it's good to be warm.
Yeah.
And lots of these kinds of wraps or fitted jackets can be easily worn throughout your ceremony and into your reception if you're having a reception.
But yet, take it off if you're dancing up a storm on the dance floor and you get too hot. So,
yeah, I think the key is just planning ahead. And a lot of lesbian brides that we meet, you know, over their years of childhood and such, didn't necessarily envision their wedding as some girls do. And so they don't really think about these things like attire in advance. And so I think it's good to mention that one of the keys here to creating a whole look for winter when you're wanting to layer your clothing is to plan in advance.
Yes.
Find out what look you're going for and then put the pieces together. It doesn't have to be overwhelming at all. You can also find elegant gloves if you're into a vintage look. That's really easy. But there's also modern gloves that can be worn by women and, of course, men. That's easy, too, for trendy, new, sleek gloves that you can find to keep your hands warm. If you're less feminine and you want to keep warm, there's lots of options too, different kinds of hats. You know, a vintage fedora or a chauffeur's cap might not be super warm, but it takes the edge off.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's great. And of course, those work well for men too, no matter what you're wearing. I think it's fun for your photo shoots, even engagement photos, if you're having a winter engagement photo shoot, to bring in a hat, if you're a hat person at all. It can just, like, in a few of the shots.
Yeah.
It can just dress it up a little more, make it a little different. And in engagement shoots, I think it just adds a little something that can be sexy or fun or casual or, you know, whatever vibe you're trying to put out there. Hats can actually help build that for you. Overcoats, too, are nothing to be shunned aside because they're too bulky or anything. Overcoats can be great. If you're really seriously in the middle of winter, you need to keep warm. Overcoats work great. They're beautiful on women, too, over a dress. But for the guys, that's an easy one. Yes, you can say yes to the overcoat.
Yeah.
Especially if you do get it fitted, personalized, go in for those alterations, get it, you know, tight around the waist or what have you. They look great in photos. They keep you warm. And like I said, if your teeth are chattering, right. They don't make the best wedding photos. So you want to keep yourself warm and snug. Plus, it gives you that cozy look.
I was going to say that ties in with your theme. You're not having a winter wedding and out in a bathing suit.
Right.
You know, most people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm not thinking about that. So if you are having a winter wedding, then you want that look.
Yeah,
you want
look.
That style, and you want that theme, and you want that mood, and that means you have clothes on.
That's right. And the neat thing about these things is you have the option for the layers.
Yes.
Which gives you the options of color upon color,
yep.
Accent piece upon accent piece. And again, I think the key here is just building in advance. So you give yourself plenty of time to avoid frustration, to find exactly what it is you're looking for to complete the look.
Yep.
And it's so much easier now than it used to be in that you can find so much online to be precisely what you're looking for, you know. A more casual idea, too, especially for the guys or the women who are attendants at your wedding who don't want to wear a dress, I think is perfectly fine. Some people might think twice about it, but I don't, is jeans and a wool vest with a wool coat a tie, you know, I think that's a nice look. Yeah. It's casual, yeah. But especially if all your attendants are going that way, if you tell them, okay, we want the jeans medium worn, you know, we don't want them super dark, we don't want them super faded, and you kind of give them guidelines there, you put on some boots. I mean, that's a nice look.
Yeah.
And then if you need to wear the hat or the scarf, there you go. I think that's a great look.
They'll love you for that, too.
Yeah. It's easy to dance in, easy to just be comfortable in. If you, you know, drop your winter s'more on your pants, it's no big deal.
And you can wear it past wedding date.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's awesome.
It's great.
Another giveaway for your guests. Now we have our house cat in the mix here.
Well, we should say we don't work out of a house. I mean, we have an office, but we have an office cat. Right. You've probably seen her on Instagram if you join us on Instagram. That's Cora. She's really HR.
She is.
And don't even think you're going to get a day off because she will not approve any day offs around here. So she just walked in demanding her food, her crunchies, and we are not getting up quick enough.
So no days off for us until January.
Exactly.
But another great giveaway item for to thank your guests or to thank your officiant, your wedding vendors, is wool socks or a scarf. In your ceremony colors, those can be really nice wintry.
Oh, I love that.
Keepsake gifts.
Yep.
Yeah. Just a little bit more, then we'll be done with this this topic of wedding winter wedding themed. But there was something else in here. Oh, Ira touched on it, which is I think in wedding photos or engagement photo shoots that are taken during winter months. It's also fun to consider a wrap that is a homemade quilt or a blanket that has sentimental value.
Sure.
Because it adds to that theme of coziness, especially if, you know, grandma made this quilt and you're willing to take it outside as the wrap. I just think that's sweet. And it adds a little flavor, especially I can see that easily in engagement photos.
And there's your something old.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. That's almost as good as a Pittsburgh cookie table.
For guests, really quickly, for women wedding guests, great apparel for winter is the velvet blouse.
Yes.
Long-sleeved velvet blouses are definitely in because textures are so in right now. And you can get velvet blouses now with a deep-cut neckline, so they can be really elegant and definitely easy to dress up that look. All right, and I just want to touch on colors, wedding colors, either for apparel or decor. And then we'll wrap up this topic for today. But, you know, colors that are trending right now for winter weddings are silvers, of course, whites, the deep evergreens, the deep blues that you think of. Oftentimes Hanukkah colors, you know, with the blues or the blue of the winter sky, you know, that kind of thing. Cranberry, obviously, is a great accent color. Think of your silvers or your grays as one of the base colors, and then you work off of that with cranberry accents, either in the apparel for your vests or your ties, or for your decor. Cranberry is also a fun color for a little dress for a flower girl or the vest if you have a ring bearer. That's just a fun color that pops really well. Other ceremony colors that really pop are the white with the evergreen and then the brown organic accent and then gold on top of that. And yellow, which is the color of light, which a lot of people think of in terms of winter. You don't really think of it as a ceremony color, but some people are using it these days. They're finding ways to incorporate yellows because it highlights that sense of hope and renewal that winter is supposed to symbolize. And if you love classic red, that's obviously a holiday color, and it's easy to incorporate red for your winter wedding. With the base color of gray or black or white, you can pop in red, and it just makes everything classic. You know, that's easy. So that's it for our winter theme weddings. We've got we've covered a lot of ground on this topic today. So thank you everybody for your input. I think our couples are set.
I'm ready. We're ready to go.
So if you're having a winter theme wedding, our phone number here at rainbowweddingnetwork.com is 828-645-8750. Give us a call. We'll be right there on your guest list.
That's right.
One of the proud sponsors of today's podcast is Michelle Lee Entertainment, based in Philadelphia. Michelle Lee, aka DJ Shelley, brings a modern, infectious energy to your celebration. She'll work with you and your fiancé to create your unique event, specific to your tastes and the taste of your guests, so that everyone enjoys the party. DJ Shelley is professional, gracious, enthusiastic, and undoubtedly passionate about entertainment. Check out her website at michelleleeentertainment.com. She's based in Philly, happy to travel throughout the Mid-Atlantic to help create your dream celebration. All right, our second topic for today's podcast, here with the team of RainbowWeddingNetwork.com, we're going to talk about quick tips for your wedding and reception, because those are always really helpful. All right, Ira, start us off with some ideas.
Well, the first thing I was going to talk about is the all-important emergency kit for whatever might go wrong in the wedding. And some of the ones at the top of, there are several lists you can run across online with different ideas, but some of the things at the top of my list are the pain relievers and the tummy meds. So if you got the headache or you're nervous and you got the butterflies, that'll help calm the situation and make the day run a little more smoothly. Other things to consider include Band-Aids for, you know, cuts and different things that might happen. Snacks to include for you and your honey, pretzels, you know, M&Ms, bottled water, different things like that.
Sure.
Comb or brush to, you know, touch up hair after you go through a certain point. Maybe you want to get spruced up for the reception. For ladies, you can include makeup, so you can do any touch-ups if you don't have a makeup artist.
Some of our grooms wear makeup.
And for, well, that is true. For anyone who might be wearing makeup, we'll rephrase that. You might want to consider including some makeup so that you have that to do touch-up. Some matches. If any of the candles at the reception go out, you got it covered.
Yeah, true.
And different things like scotch tape, safety pins, sewing kit to repair any mistakes
duct
that might
tape.
Happen with duct tape.
As a good lesbian, you should always have your duct tape and pocket knife.
That's right.
It's in Lesbian Handbook 101.
Absolutely. One thing that I saw on several lists that I thought was a little more dramatic, but I think fits perfectly for the ultimate gay wedding, is the smelling salts for anyone who wants to be dramatic and faint at the wedding or reception. But that could be a very serious concern. And then things like moist wipes, tissues, just to clean up, or you know, if you spill something on the dress or on the tux. That helps a little bit. And another hint I ran across was chalk. If you have any dark spots on the wedding dress that happen, that's a great way to cover that up as well. So.
Good idea.
You know, the first two, when you mentioned the pain reliever and tummy meds, I was thinking vodka.
Yeah. Vodka, alcohol,
you know, or gin.
The flask, gin, the emergency flask.
Yeah, a little gin and tonic already mixed. That would, you know, squash that. But. Mm-hmm.
Another thing to consider are breath mints, dental floss, things like that for last minute. And then, of course, your checkbook and cash, just in case you need to pay any vendors, cover any costs the day of the event. You've got that ready to go and covered. Any contact solution, eye drops, if you wear contacts or just need to, you know, with the winter weather to help your eyes a little bit. So those are some of the things you can consider. And, of course, I'm sure you can come up with more depending on your unique needs.
Right, yeah, if you wear contacts, it's good to bring the glasses for backup and a little hand mirror, you know, because if you, especially if you have an outdoor wedding, you might not have a mirror right there available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good ideas, Ira.
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you have anything else? Or no?
I think that covers most of it, the repair
and snack items, yeah.
Snack items are definitely good because you may not get a chance to eat for quite a while.
Well, especially too, a lot of times, you know, you'll take a lot of pre-wedding photography. So, you know, if your wedding is a 1 o'clock wedding, say, you might be starting pretty early with hair, makeup, getting ready, have photos taken before you walk down the aisle. And you're right, that's a long time, and you don't want to sit. You know, if you're in your dress, you definitely don't want to have something sloppy that could cause a problem to eat. So quick
little finger foods.
Little something quick and easy to snack and have a little bit of water, whatever, to keep you.
It's good to make sure you bring a water bottle or two. Because those are supposed to be on hand, or your wedding coordinator might say they're bringing them, but it's good to cover yourself just in case.
And it's also good to, if you pack all of these items that you think is to make sure you assign that task to somebody in your if you don't have a wedding coordinator, you know, most right. wedding coordinators are going to have a lot of this stuff on hand. But if you don't, have the kit ready to roll
yeah.
and hand it to one of your best people and say, you're in charge of this, like the football for the, you know, nuclear codes. Right. Here this is, you know, for the wedding. And you're going to, you know, you're going to be the one responsible for it in case there's a problem mm-hmm. That we can, you know, we can use what's ever in here.
I think in the emergency kit, it's also nice. This is just extra special. But if you think about what might help calm down your sweetie or be extra special for your sweetie, like if it's a little card that you haven't shown them yet or just a little love note or you know that they love this flavor of Tic Tacs or something, you know, that you just have that put aside to go, oh, here, sweetie. And that makes their day a little better. And they know that you were thinking of them in particular with that one.
So. Here I was thinking the Nerf bill, and you came out with Tic Tacs.
Whatever. You know, you said M&Ms. M&Ms are good.
Yeah.
Or with Cindy, of course, I'd have to have a Diet Coke hidden away.
That's right.
Just in case, you know.
That's right. It's yeah. long time to my winter casserole.
Right.
Another thing I did forget to include was a nail kit, too. In case you break a nail or you need to do any last-minute touch-up, that's another good thing to have in that kit.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sounds awesome. Lauren, what do you have? Those quick tips.
Okay, yeah, so a couple things piggybacking off of what Ira has said. One thing that I found really helpful was having on hand the oil-absorbing pads. Those are great, and they're really great to have during pictures. So if you're sweating because you're nervous, or if it's a little toasty outside, you can grab one of those pads, wipe off some oil on your forehead, and you're shine-free for the pictures. And also in regards to the snacks, it's helpful to have baby wipes on hand. So, you know, if you are eating something, you get a little something on your hand, you can clean off your hands and not worry about passing anything onto your dress or your bridesmaids' dresses or groomsmen's outfits. And also, you want to make sure that you call your vendors and confirm before the wedding so that way everyone's on the same page. And if you have a wedding coordinator, they'll do all that for you and you can talk to your wedding coordinator just for, you know, extra confirmation.
You have a story about that, don't you, Lauren?
Oh, yes, I do. Actually, for my wedding, I had called my florist 2 weeks out, and so a couple days before the wedding, I called just again just to confirm everything, and my florist was out of the country.
Oh, no. So,
yeah, so that was not very fun. I had to get my flowers from Sam's Club, and luckily my husband's cousin is amazing. She's so amazing with all things plants. So she put together all my bouquets and everything. So it worked out well, and I actually saved a lot of money, but definitely confirm with your vendors. Yeah.
And that's a good tip for, you know, a good vote in the column of wedding planner.
Yes.
Is
mm-hmm.
If you yes. have a wedding planner, they have these relationships with the vendors, and most of these vendors they've worked with time and again, and those vendors don't want to flake out on them because they want to continue the relationship. So, and if they were to flake out, the wedding vendor would handle everything.
The wedding coordinator. Split. Yeah.
Wedding coordinator. I'm sorry. Wedding coordinator.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a vote in the column, you know, because we do work with a lot of wedding coordinators at our LGBT wedding expos all around the country. And on occasion, a couple might ask, well, do I really have to have one? And of course, it's not the right fit for every couple, but that's a vote in the column for yes.
Yes.
It's one
yes.
more thing off your shoulders.
Yes.
And yeah. if you are, I mean, it's also a good reminder that even if you are doing it yourself, maybe it's a smaller wedding, and is to make sure, you know, like you're saying, you called 2 weeks prior, but to also make sure you called a few days prior.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because most of the time you think 2 weeks prior is enough. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't it be enough? And it was very good that, you know, that you took that, thought that through to be like, well, maybe I'm just going to double check with everybody again.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's sometimes a chore you can delegate to your best right. person or, or your mom or your dad, you know, some, or you can divvy it up and say, I'm calling these three, you call those three, you know, because that can be a big chore a few days before your wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I do wish that I had, looking back, I wish that I had delegated a little more. So for all you brides and grooms out there planning weddings, don't be afraid to delegate.
Yeah. And a lot of people, some people have smaller circles and some have larger circles of support. But it is true that a lot of your family and friends want to help for your wedding. And they are kind of want to be asked, but they don't want to step on your toes. So it usually is, it falls on you to ask them. And they'll tell you no if they really don't want to do it. Delegating is a very good quick tip. Another quick tip is to practice some things ahead of time. For instance, if you are wearing apparel that is unusual for you, particular heels or particular shoes, it's good to wear them because you might get blisters. It's good to know where the blisters are going to be so you can Band-Aid or what have you, or break the shoes in. If you're wearing apparel, you know, for instance, a gown with a train and then you're getting into a horse-drawn carriage, go ahead and practice some of those moves before the wedding day, because sometimes that attire can get in your way or be a trip hazard or whatever. So make sure you practice in advance. And even just slipping on the apparel you're going to wear in advance, you're like, oh, I should wash this first if it's too itchy, or, oh, you know, whatever. So it's good to practice in advance. It's also good to practice toasts or thank yous in advance. Sometimes, you know, you kind of know what the toasts are going to be, but sometimes you're asked unexpectedly to give a thank you to somebody that day. So it's good just to kind of have it in your mind. Oh, yeah, I really want to thank my officiant, and I'd like to say these few things to her or him. And so you practice a little bit, or you write down a few notes even and keep them in your emergency kit or your pocket if you happen to have one that day. You might even think of a few words you would say to your sweetie after you're married, just to whisper in their ear that night. You know, you're going to be sitting there together a lot or dancing, and just to have a few special words that you've kind of rehearsed in advance, because by the end of the day, the end of the celebration, you're going to be a little tired and you might not think as clearly as you would if you plan these things out in advance. Just to have those sweet words for your new spouse, that'll just add that much more to the day. Another quick tip, some couples don't think of, is having a kids area at their reception. More and more people do this, but some people forget that it's even an option. And you can put a kids area together really simply, or you can go all out with it. You know, I mean, you could hire a nanny, you could hire a magician to entertain the kids, or you can just have an area with small activities, whether it's a small craft activity or a coloring page. In fact, here at Rainbow Wedding Network, we have a coloring book specific for kids with two moms or two dads. That would be really fun to have at your wedding. Or you can have other little activities, kid-friendly menu items for them. You know, a few little things for them to do just so they're out from underfoot and they're not bored and causing not so much you, but their caregivers frustration. That way they have something fun to look forward to. Because, you know, kids are getting a wedding. What do you mean? And if you get to say, hey, they've got a room. Some people have, you know, some venues even have arcade games or hippity hops or whatever. And if you are planning your wedding and you're really having an all-out kids area, tell your guests and say, you know, you can pack extra clothes for your kid. It's okay if they bring play clothes.
Right.
Because we're going to have this for them, you know.
Or if it's evening, bedtime clothes.
Yeah, or you know, they may have a TV, and you might have a TV in the kids' area. They can watch a movie. Yeah.
And I'm definitely in the favor, if you are planning to have a fair amount of kids there, is to hire the kid sitter. You know, there's services that you can hire the kid sitter to come out and take care of the kids, and that does take the burden away from the parents. And we hired one particularly at one of our expos, actually, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
They, you know, she came totally prepared to handle a handful of kids with crafts and, you know, just all types of activities to keep them engaged during the event. So I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah. You know?
Absolutely.
It's a great idea, and it makes it
fun. Yeah, it's really great.
And it was not an expensive service.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The other rehearsal thing I wanted to mention was practice putting a ring on your sweetie's finger. And if there's, you know, some people perspire more than others, and sometimes that makes it harder to put rings on. So it's good to just think about that ahead. Okay, should I put lotion on my hands right before the ceremony? And if so, my best person needs to carry lotion for me, or, you know, things like that. That if you practice ahead of time, you will realize, oh, yeah, we need to do that. Sometimes your officiant will bring in a sand pouring ceremony, or you'll bring in a sand, you know, just to sort of think that through. Where will these pieces be placed? And let's practice in advance, at least practice in our minds. So we've got all that thought through. So it's good to just take time and rehearse a little bit, because this isn't, you don't think of it as a production, but a wedding is kind of a production. So the more you can rehearse, the more confident you'll feel the day of.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. Our last topic of the day is going to be election banter. But first, we're going to talk about another of our podcast sponsors. One of the sponsors of today's podcast is the Hilton Cocoa Beach Oceanfront, a family-friendly beachfront hotel close to Disney World and SeaWorld. Celebrate your love with sand underfoot or inside with windows overlooking the Grand Ocean. Our 10,000 square foot deck has space for 150 to 200 guests, while the Grand Ballroom accommodates 350 to 600. Smaller parties like to use our Horizon Oceanfront Room. Sensitive to the needs of all couples, we're honored to be a part of this beautiful time in your lives and will work hard to create sweet memories for you. Guest accommodations are also available. All 295 guest rooms feature the renowned Hilton Serenity bedding, and our spacious suites are perfect for extended stays and intimate gatherings. Local attractions include the Kennedy Space Center, Cocoa Beach Pier, and of course Disney. On-site surfing lessons, boogie board, bike, and beach rentals. Proud sponsor of Rainbow Wedding Network's Same Love, Same Rights LGBT Wedding Expo on October 23rd, 2016, the Hilton Cocoa Beach Oceanfront.
So let's talk a little election.
Let's do it! Election! So we should... What is there to talk about? Let's just laugh hysterically.
Yeah, well, what we were going to talk a little bit about, which I must give everybody a little backstory to this. We talk about our podcast topics usually a couple of weeks out before we record them, so that way we can
research
and all of that. And when we decided, we'd been deciding if we were going to talk election or not. You know, we had been kind of batting that around. Do we get into election coverage and talk or not, or just, you know,
which I don't understand why we would think not, because we used to do video blogs about this 8 years ago, and we really got into the elections back then. So I think, sure, why not?
Why not? So, but anyway, what we were talking about 2 weeks ago, I mean, it's amazing how this election cycle changes every 20 minutes or with every tweet. And so what we were talking about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, the election... of course, we're talking a national, on the net. We're talking Trump and
presidential
Clinton,
election.
Right? We're not talking local elections. We're talking between Trump and Clinton, right? And a couple of weeks ago, it had tightened up a lot. It was very close on the, you know, percentages. It was 40 some odd to 40 some odd on a national poll. We are in North Carolina, which, of course, we have a lot of local issues here with our lovely bathroom bill and everything else that locally. But again, we're going to talk national. But we are a swing state. You know, we're a battleground state. And I had read in the news that Mr. Trump was here in North Carolina, and he was talking about one of his, you know, he makes these big, grand, bold statements a lot. And one of his big, bold, grand statement was that he is the best presidential candidate in history for LGBT rights. And I was like, what?
Wow.
You know, like, that is a big, bold statement, you know. And why is he making that statement? You know, what is that? You know, what is he trying to do? And as we know, being in North Carolina, being in a battleground state, especially I thought that because he picked Governor Pence as his running mate.
Which, yeah, that's not pro-LGBT.
It's not nothing pro-LGBT. And also the fact that, and we do remember back in the days of 2000, 2004, LGBT issues were forefront. You know, remember
the
back in the
day. It was the hot button. It was the wedge issue to get people to the polls.
That's right.
The conservatives were using it as a wedge issue.
That's right. Remember the days?
And now it's, or Mexican immigrants, you know, or the Muslims. But back in the day, it
yeah,
was
remember the
crazy LGBT
amendment?
People,
right?
You know, that was those people, those right. ones,
exactly. Yeah. And so I thought, wow, that is a big bold statement for this election cycle to say that I am the most
right.
pro LGBT presidential candidate in history. It wasn't just like in the past 20 years. It was history. And I thought, wow, we have President Obama who has really gotten a lot done for the LGBT community. I mean, let's just say marriage equality. One of many things that this our wonderful president has made sure that, and we still have a long way to go. I mean, we're not kidding around that there's still a lot of LGBT issues that we still have to work on, and we still have to get past.
And trans issues too. We're including
right LGBT. The trans issues right now are vitally important that we talk that we get those out there, especially with violence against our trans brothers and sisters. So, and gender identity, all of that. But when I heard that statement by Trump, I thought, what in the world? But what was interesting is in these battleground states that we're in is. Again, 2 weeks ago, it was a lot tighter. The race was a lot tighter. And there was a great story that had come out that talked about why he was making these statements. And that was the fact that the LGBT voting, the population in North Carolina, the LGBT vote was enough that it could have, if he
garnered our votes,
yes.
he could have swung him to win the states.
That's exactly right. Thank you. Yeah, if he would have...
we're going to vote for Trump. Okay, sorry.
If that was enough of a statement to swing some LGBT voters, there's enough of us that could have helped him win North Carolina.
It's heartening, because sometimes you really wonder, does one vote count? Does our minority make a difference? And it does. We talk about this a lot at our expos and our speech, that we have a lot of power. The LGBT minority in America has a lot of power in our pocketbooks in terms of who we choose to invest with, not just for our weddings, but just everyday purchases. And then we have a lot of power in our votes.
That's
we may
right.
only be 4% of the population, but we're 4% who are actively involved. And so that's a lot of power. Mr. Trump was wise to try to court us, but I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's...
But that's also like, yes, exactly. It is. I mean, but there was a little stat here in past elections. This was NBC. In past election, LGBT voters played an important role. The results from 2012 NBC News exit polls, 5% of voters identified as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, that didn't include the trans community, and 76% voted for Barack Obama. Voters who did not identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual were split 49% Obama, 49% Romney. So, we do know that we tend to vote a little more for the Democrats, but anyway, it was interesting.
It's very interesting.
I think it's also important that I think most LGBT voters are educate themselves, but it's also important that you educate yourself. Because if you were standing out there listening to Trump and you don't go home and do your research, I mean, the media is going to do it for you to some extent nowadays. But if you don't do your research, you might believe the words he's saying, but he hasn't really done anything for the LGBTQ community. He's really hampered us.
And, we watched, Marianne and I watched both of the conventions, and it was funny how when Mr. Trump gave his speech, he kind of fumbled through. He used the words. He read it from the prompter. He clearly had not read it ahead of time because he stumbled through LGBT, was having a hard time with it. And we both looked at each other and said, really? Like, that was said by him in the,
Well, a lot of the speakers in the RNC said LGBT to the best of their ability, and it was confounding because 4, 8, 12 years ago, we were the wedge issue. We were like the Voldemort for the conservatives. We who shall not be named, other than to name us to try to get people out to the ballot box because we were so awful. Mm-hmm. So it was so funny to hear them courting us at the Republican National Convention.
It was, especially because, like you're saying, we are not the wedge issue on this cycle. Right. So, but I think that goes, I think we should be flattered in a little bit because they are taking our vote seriously.
Yeah.
They are realizing that we are a group of voters that are smart and that we are paying attention, and a lot of us aren't single issue voters. You know, you and I have a 10-year-old, so we vote locally for different reasons as well. I mean, we're not Republicans, but we do look at school boards and mm-hmm. county commission and things like that. But especially on a, like we said, we're talking national, but especially on a national level.
I think the campaigns are wise to take our minority into consideration, as well as many minorities. But the LGBT community is, we're just going to have a little bit of everything in our podcast
today.
We got animals, we got Harden, the 7-month-old, we got the phone, yeah. But I think they're wise to take our minority into consideration because traditionally our community has been one to involve ourselves in grassroots ways, mm-hmm. to enact change. I mean, you know, from Stonewall to now, people throughout the LGBT community not only educate themselves, but they're involved. They want to make a change. They want to make a difference. They want to, you know, be active. And so I think as a minority, we probably have a higher percentage than some factions in terms of those who actually go out and vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think Bernie Sanders really revved up a large part of our community as well, which was awesome. And so I think, Mr. Trump is also revving up, you know,
certain
in
factions,
you know, in the opposite. Yeah, they're revving us up to make sure that we go out there and we do vote. So if you are not registered, register to vote. It's very important. If you, make sure that you do go out there and vote, make sure you, if your friends need a ride to go vote, make sure that you, this is an important time. We think every election is an important election, but I think, you know, it's important that we all get out there and do our part.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Who else wants? Well, Harden wants to chime in on the election. But Ira, did you want to say anything about the election, or Lauren?
It's funny because last night, so I watch Hillary's speeches. I watch Trump. I watch Gary Johnson and Jill Stein.
Our baby's having a.
He heard the name Trump. But last night, Trump on his Facebook, they did like a Facebook Live thing while he was doing his speech. And the comments of the people who were following him, just blowing my mind. I couldn't believe, I mean, whenever I see anything like that for Hillary or Gary Johnson or, like I said, Jill Stein, they're nothing as Trump's followers are just so aggressive. One that popped up was like, send Hillary to jail, and while you're at it, get rid of everyone that follows her, throw them in jail too. And it was just comment after comment just like that. There was nothing positive or...
Right.
It was just very different than what you see for the other candidates.
Yes, and if you have not, I would encourage everyone, if you have, you know, with the audio tape that was released this past weekend with Trump's comment, was it Billy Bush, mm-hmm. Their conversation, if you have not listened to Michelle Obama's speech
response to that
yesterday, it is so empowering. Everyone should Google it, listen to it from start to finish. Aren't we going to miss...
We are.
We're going to miss...
Michelle for president!
I know. Man, we all grow up to hope to be half as awesome as, as Michelle Obama is.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, her speech, it'll move you to tears, and it validates what we're all feeling.
Yeah.
It validates what every woman has ever felt walking down the street.
Yeah.
If you have a daughter... she says it with such grace and dignity, and, you know, it just really makes you pause and listen. And she doesn't do it, she's angry, but she does it in a way that makes you stop and listen and just say, wow, this is, one classy, incredible person that we have been lucky to have as our first lady for 8 years, and if we could just extend it for another 50 million, we would be much better off. But
can we switch out Obama and Michelle?
Yeah, just back and forth and back and forth.
Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I know. We'll give him a little bit of a break, but yes, can we just switch him out? But
yeah, that's I'm sure he's ready for a vacation by now.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
It's awesome about Michelle. I always let you know I'm the advocate here for this particular issue beyond just the comments about women by Mr. Trump. It's that I always like to stand up and say sometimes it happens to men too.
Right.
And men deserve to be angry too, even though Trump's comments were directed at women in particular.
Right.
Men go through this situation too sometimes, and he's touched on a chord that people deserve to take notice of, because that's, in my opinion, not somebody we want as our national leader for that reason alone. But I think it's touched a chord in a lot of people that's brought up some emotions, and I just never like to leave certain people out. So I just want to say that.
That's very true.
But, you know, those of us who are older remember the campaigns of 8 and 12 years ago that were not as volatile as this one on the surface. Candidates like George W. or McCain tried in some ways, they did come forward and squash the turning towards violence from their followers. But there were other ways that they did incite aggressive behavior. We experienced that here at Rainbow Wedding Network, being part of an article, a national article on small business, and received so many more death threats, so much more violent death threats than before. And we talked to the reporter about that article, and he said the same thing. Yes, absolutely, because people during election cycles, there's certain factions that are incited to feel legitimized in not just their opinions, but their choice to act violently about those opinions. And that's some dangerous waters. And it can be very dangerous for minorities who maybe aren't even in the minority anymore. You know, people of color aren't necessarily in the minority anymore in our country, but some of the white supremacists would like to think so and feel like their anger can be outletted in violent ways against people they think of as the minority, even though they're not necessarily the minority anymore. And like I said, I think that that's important for the LGBT minority too, because acts of violence can happen to us, and people can feel more legitimized in them because of the election cycle and the way people are being pushed and pressed to think that it's okay to act out that way.
Yep, it's true. It's true. Our 10-year-old just came up here because she heard the election, and she loves election coverage. We've had to make sure that we find the G-rated, which is awful sad, too, recently, is to find the G-rated coverage of the election, because as a 10-year-old, she's really involved in the politics. And
it's exciting.
It's a very exciting time. Did you want to say something about the election? Let's don't, you know, you can't bash.
We have to be respectful.
We have to be respectful.
Mom? The election is...
Can it be the fax machine now?
The election is...
This is hysterical.
The election is...
off.
Is off a little bit?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like...
Okay.
How much division is in my school now because of it?
Yes, there's a lot of division in your school with who is supporting who, isn't there?
Yeah, and it...
Very weird.
Yes. Not normal.
Not normal.
It does bring out people's opinions, which is what it should do, but it shouldn't bring out people's opinions to the point that they feel entitled to righteous violence. You know, and that's...
Yeah.
It's just... That's the wrong side of it.
Right. Yeah. That's the fax machine is going on.
Yeah.
So as you've witnessed or experienced this podcast with Rainbow Wedding Network, you have figured out that our office is comprised of a squeaky door that's very Halloween-like. We are kid-friendly. We have a... how old is Harden now? About 7, 8 months?
Yeah.
7 months, yeah.
7 months old, little one, and a 10-year-old. And we have an office cat who demands crunchies at every given moment.
A busy fax machine.
We have a very busy fax machine.
We did not have the house chicken in here today because the podcast was going on.
No, but you could hear the chickens and the roosters out and the ducks outside.
We have house rabbits who are squeaking a little bit.
House rabbits. Rainbow Wedding Network's office is...
diverse. We celebrate diversity.
We celebrate diversity. But our ending with you is make sure you vote.
Yes.
Please make sure you get out there and vote. Make sure your friends can vote. If you have parents or anybody that elderly in your life that needs a ride to the polls... Make sure you are registered. Make sure they are registered. Make sure everybody is registered to vote. It does make a difference.
It does.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Al Gore could tell you that.
Yeah. And we've been talking, you know, primarily about the national campaign, but so much on this election is riding on Congress. You know, so make sure you educate yourself about which congressperson you want to vote for and all the way down to your local elections. Just stay educated and go ahead and cast those votes. It's that important, really important time.
That's right. And our community has a lot of power, like you were saying, not only financially, but we do have a power when it comes to voting. So
yeah, it's exciting.
It is very exciting. Mm-hmm. We're gonna miss the Obamas like crazy.
So much.
But
Hillary is a friend too.
Yes.
Cindy, Ira. Some of our other staff got to meet her back in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was really 2007 when she came through. Yes.
When she came through to Asheville, we were part of the press with our magazine and got to shake her hand, give her a lapel pin, and ask her whether she at that time supported civil unions or marriage. And she said,
civil unions.
She thought about it, though, for a minute.
Thought about it for a minute, said civil unions. She signed one of our magazines, which we have framed here in the office.
But that was, you know, that was 2007.
Yes.
And I'm not sure whether that was complete truth or not, or political truth that she had to say that. So I've always thought of the Clintons as being very cognizant of the issues regarding equality, not just for our community, but for all minorities. So...
And don't forget, the Supreme Court is in play, and marriage equality could be, you know,
in jeopardy. Block.
It could be in jeopardy, absolutely.
There are plenty of judges and court systems out there still trying to challenge it.
Yes, so let's make sure we do our part.
Vote, vote, vote.
That's
all right, thank you for listening to our podcast today. We are here with RainbowWeddingNetwork.com online at the same URL. Our sister site is SameLoveSameRights.com. You can check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/SameLoveSameRights or /RWNCom. We're online too, Twitter, Instagram, all of that is mentioned on our website. Please check it out. You can also donate through our website to help keep this podcast going strong. We thank you for listening and look forward to speaking to you again very soon. Thank you.